former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Palm with you today. Michael Lombardi will be back on the program coming up tomorrow, but hanging out live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. I forgot to give the update after we had Will Hill on the program in Hour 1 because we had another guest, but the horse for the Kentucky Derby that he liked, the 9 horse, was Skinner, and you said 18-1?
18-1 here at Circa.
All right, good stuff. We'll have Mike Somich on in just a little bit as well to preview the Kentucky Derby, get some of his other plays. We'll get to some more NFL talk with Eric Froton of NBC Sports later. But former 2019 MVP Lamar Jackson, now the highest paid player in the NFL, spoke to media today in a press conference in Baltimore for the first time since signing the deal. And he did say in the presser, one of the big quotes to come out of it, that other teams, despite so many of them being outward in saying that they were not going to reach out or have interest in Lamar Jackson, that teams did call.
I'm sure they called. I mean, it never made sense. There were so many teams that needed a quarterback, and not all of them could get him through the draft in the first round, which many consider not even to be a strong quarterback class. So I always thought the Lions, the Vikings, some of these teams, it made a lot of sense. Atlanta, obviously. So I'm sure there was some interest. It's just too unbelievable to think there was none.
Well, and he said that throughout that process, he wanted to be a Raven, although he, of course, in March did request a trade. So maybe a little revisionist history.
Didn't travel with him in the play. I mean, he did everything to say, I'm never playing another game in Baltimore.
He did say when he was asked if he will continue to represent himself going forward and won't hire an agent, that he wouldn't want to put his trust in anyone else. So it's going to be him and Mama Jackson still moving forward. And if they got this deal done the way that they did, why go another direction?
Sounds like a great teammate. Trust no one.
What's your outlook on the Ravens this year?
Well, I don't know. Last year, that was Amal's team to win the Super Bowl. You know, now they've changed offensive coordinators, obviously, right? And that was another sign that they, you know, go away from Roman, who ran a very sophisticated running attack, to be a more pass-oriented team. Another thought that they were going to, go away from Lamar and have a different option, but it's not the case. So we'll see if they become a more pass-heavy team. That's a tough division. You know, you got a team on the uptick in the Browns, and you've got a team in Cincinnati that's been right there in the AFC Championship game the last 2 years and made the Super Bowl. So it's a tough spot, you know, and you're gonna have to win 10 or 11 games probably to get in the playoffs and to do any damage. So I'm not as high on the Ravens as I was heading into last season.
I like their win total set at 9.5, and I do think that they go over that number. They had 10 wins last year despite Lamar's injury kind of derailing the back end of the season. Not that I think OBJ is going to be some game-wrecking wide receiver for them, but they do make the effort to get a wide receiver that Lamar Jackson wanted. They go get Zay Flowers in the draft. I liked some of the pieces they got there. J.K. Dobbins should be back healthy and good to go. So there are elements that I like of the Ravens. I wouldn't bet them to win the division. I don't like that bet. I don't like that number, but I do like them over their win total this season.
I don't disagree with that. They can win 10 games. I think that price is even a little bit long on the Bengals. I think the Bengals are, I would take the Bengals at, if you can find 120, 125 in the market.
Bengals under 11.5 wins is a bet I actually like too, because them, the Chiefs, and the 49ers all have the highest win total, which is just, it's a lot of games, I feel like. And so many things had to go right for them last year to win as many as they did.
And you get these number one schedules too. You know, you get no breaks there.
Like you said, the division's going to be better. Mm-hmm. So worth a look at some of those win totals post-draft, I think. Got a little game for us this segment. NBA versus NHL playoff futures. A little kind of either or would you rather type of a thing. You ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Okay. So would you rather have the Nuggets to win the West at plus 130 or the Golden Knights to win the West at plus 150?
No doubt. Oh, that's
a doubt or no doubt. That's a different segment. No, come on, Mike, move on.
I'd rather have the Nuggets to win the West than the Golden Knights.
I would too, but I don't hate the Golden Knights.
I don't hate the Golden Knights. I still think Dallas will be a problem for the Knights. Now, that's not guaranteed to get through the Kraken, but I think they will. I think that'll be a long series, but I think Dallas will get it.
Well, the Golden Knights certainly not guaranteed to get past Edmonton either.
I think they will. I think the Knights will be in the Western Conference final, but I think if they are, I think Dallas will present problems for them because they never score many goals against Dallas. All these games are 2-1, 3-2 type games when they play Dallas.
I would love that series because coaching-wise, it's Pete DeBoer and Bruce Cassidy, which is... Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Pete DeBoer fired last season for Bruce Cassidy to step in when he probably didn't deserve to be fired at that point. I don't think that the Golden Knights' injury problems and managerial issues were his fault. So that would be a really, really cool matchup, I think, in the Western Conference Final.
I thought it would have been cool with Bruce Cassidy against Jim Montgomery if we'd have gotten to a final, wouldn't that?
Can we talk about the Bruins' playoff issues not being Bruce Cassidy's fault after all? Would you look at that? I'm still very upset. I know we talked about it off air, just how upset that we both are at the Bruins for losing the way that they did. You had significant futures invested in them. I had a great four-leg series winning parlay for round one that they were the only leg that lost. Very frustrating.
Very disappointing. I had high hopes that we could make five figures off the position getting Boston into the Final Four, but it didn't happen, and so we move on.
So sell me on the Nuggets, though. Why do you think that they're going to be the representative?
Well, I think they're going to beat Phoenix now. They beat the two games, and now Chris Paul's out. He's not coming back. Not this series. Maybe not for the rest of the players if they should advance. I think the Nuggets will face the Lakers or the Warriors, and they have home court, right? They're the number one seed. So I don't think 130 is that short of a price. I just think there's a matchup problem for the Knights. Not that I don't think the Knights can win it, because I think they have the D to win it. I just think they match up poorly with. If you were telling me the Kraken were going to win that series, I'd put a big circle around the Knights at 150 as the better bet.
Well, and that's our next either or too. So I already know your answer. Would you rather have the Kraken over the Stars at -105 or the Knicks over the Heat at the same price?
No way. I mean, this one I don't like either. The first one I like both of them.
We have a neither. There you go.
Yeah, I don't really like either of these. I would say Knicks, just because I think the Stars are going to win this series. I mean, you know what. To Annie McNeil's point, I mean, Ottinger gave up 3 goals in 52 seconds. Is that going to happen again? And then not another goal for the next 50 minutes when you count the overtime. I think that Dallas scores 3+ in all these games against the Kraken.
See, I think if you made me pick one of those bets, and I do prefer the Stars in the series, I think for as great of a story as the Kraken have been in year two in existence and knocking off the defending champion Avs, it was a depleted Colorado team injury-wise, and I think that lack of playoff experience as a team can only take you so far that I did think that the bill ends here, but if I had to pick between the Knicks, when Jimmy Butler is healthy and on, and the fact that the Heat were so good in game two, even without him on the court with them, nearly won that game. I feel like I'd prefer the Heat in that series. So I would take the Kraken if you force my hand.
I'd like to have the Knicks win because I'm taking my family to New York City. May, I think it's 25th through 29th or whatever. Maybe if they were still alive, we could go to an NBA playoff game there. That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Did you see, by the way, Ahmad Sauce Gardner, not knowing who Jessica Alba was?
What?
Yeah. He was talking to the media yesterday about how he and Aaron Rodgers were courtside at the Knicks game. And Aaron goes, "Oh, we're sitting next to Jessica Alba." And he goes, "Who?" He had no clue who she was.
I dealt to her at the MGM. She
Did
played
you?
Poker 1-2 no limit game back when I was first in town.
Is she as beautiful in person as she looks on television? I wanted to be her when I was growing up. When you saw the movie Honey, I was like, dang.
Physically beautiful. You know, at different times in my life, I thought different women were the most beautiful woman in the world. You know, as you grow and you... At one time, I thought Belinda Carlisle was the most beautiful woman. And one time, I thought Jessica Alba. One time, I thought Scarlett Johansson. You know what I mean? You just...
It develops over time.
It develops over time. But she is a stunningly beautiful woman physically.
Yeah. Sauce was... He's more on TikTok, looking at TikTok girls. He's not going back to the VHS tapes watching Honey. Next one that we got here. Lakers to win the NBA Finals at 5-1 or the Toronto Maple Leafs to win their first cup since the 60s at 5-1.
Well, you're talking about a team that hadn't won a playoff series in 20 years against a team that's won how many championships and has LeBron James? I'll take the Lakers plus $5.
You don't think that this is the year that not only do the Leafs overcome their first round curse, but they just go out and win it all?
No, I don't think so.
game one against the Panthers certainly didn't instill confidence.
I think Samsonov looks very shaky in goal. I told Paul Howard I would have went to Wold in game seven in that series. I'm serious. He's skitterish. He's not solid in net, and I think he's off his game. So I'm not sure that they can get by Florida. I think they would have actually had a better shot with the Bruins. I mean, everybody
really?
In Toronto was dancing in the streets when the Bruins lost because now, we get Florida. We'll roll over Florida. And it's interesting because late in the year, Paul Maurice brought his team to Scotiabank Arena when they were on the outside looking into the playoffs. And remember, he started Alex Lyon, and everybody said, what, are they giving up on the season? Yeah. And they went with Lyon all the way until he switched to Bobrovsky after three games in the first round. So that was like a pivotal game. I think they lost 3-2 to Toronto in that game.
Last minute here, we'll go a little bit quicker with these final three. Yeah. Warriors over the Lakers or Devils over the Hurricanes, both a plus 175.
Warriors over
Warriors,
the Lakers.
Obviously. Yeah. That's an obvious one. But I do like the Devils in that series. I will say, I think that the Hurricanes injuries are going to catch up with them over the set. 76ers to win the East or the Panthers to win the East?
I'll
plus 275, 3-1.
I'll take the Florida Panthers plus 275. This was last year's President's Cup winner. Remember, they had the most points, had a disappointing season, probably weren't going to make the playoffs. I like Paul Maurice a lot. I don't think that's a bad price because I think both of those teams out of the Metro are very beatable.
Playing their best at the end of the season and clearly to start the postseason. NBA Finals champion from California or the Stanley Cup champ from north of the border?
No, California all the way.
Okay.
You might not, you're going to get one of them teams in the Final Four. You might not get a Canadian team in the Final Four. You're guaranteed with Golden State playing the Lakers.
Been a hot minute since a Stanley Cup champ came from Canada. We are going to step aside on the Lombardi line. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We already know you're gearing up for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, and we can help you out if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for just $9.99. You get all access to everything we do, including our Kentucky Derby betting guide. The annual Run for the Roses coming up this Saturday. We have profiles on all the horses, jockeys, and trainers, so you know which guys are the favorites, the sleepers, as well as the long shots, plus best bets from our guy Dave Tooley, as well as a number of VSiN experts to help you make the most out of your Kentucky Derby bets. This offer is not going to last long. Make sure you become a subscriber now. Just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Last year's winner, of course, 80-1 shot, Rich Strike, odds as long as 200, 300-1 here in Nevada. It was the biggest upset in the 148-year history of the Kentucky Derby. Rich Strike, you remember, wasn't even in the field on the Friday before because of a late scratch, which we'll talk more on potential scratches here in a moment. But let's bring in a good friend of the show. He joins us every Thursday, Mike Somich, professional handicapper, doing great work with RacingDudes.com as well. So a horse racing analyst and expert. Mike, this is your bread and butter. How excited are you for this weekend?
I am pretty pumped. I am ready for this race to happen. It's funny. You've handicapped this race essentially for 5 months, right? Watching all the preps, watching just to see who's going to be forwardly placed, who's coming from off the pace, who's progressing from race to race. I can't wait for the actual 2 minutes to happen now, just because we've been ready here for the last week to just get this race going. And so looking forward to this weekend. The undercards on both Friday and Saturday are phenomenal as well. Churchill Downs did a wonderful job of having full fields on both days. Great turf racing, great dirt racing. So it should be a wonderful 2 days with the Kentucky Oaks on Friday and the Derby on Saturday.
Mike, I want to ask you about, Stormy mentioned Rich Strike and vastly ignored because he drew into the field late. This year, Cyclone Mischief with the All-Ball Stable is the also eligible. Can you break down Cyclone Mischief a little bit for us? And if he draws into the field, does he present any problems?
Cyclone Mischief would be an interesting horse to draw in. So he would be slotted into the 20 post, so all the way on the outside if he draws into the race. And Cyclone Mischief has some early speed, and this year's pace specifically is a little bit more murky than past years. If you look at the professional tools that people use, four or five different pace tools have four or five different horses making the lead, and Cyclone Mischief would become another horse that would kind of add a question mark, especially because you're in that 20 post. You got to go. You have to go for position, so you're sending the horse early to get to the front. I would be considering Cyclone Mischief in that, you know, third or fourth spot underneath in a trifecta or a superfecta, but I don't think he's a win candidate in the race.
Well, before we get to some of your picks, can you talk through a few more of those traits and things that you're looking for when you're betting horses in the Kentucky Derby, whether it's of the horse and running style, post position, et cetera? Obviously, the favorite in Forte at the 15 post, which I know some people weren't thrilled about.
Yeah, for sure. So first off, 8 of the last 10 years, you've seen a horse win who was either forwardly placed. So it's forwardly placed. So either on the lead or top five after about a half mile into the race. Last year, one of the exceptions, but that was also the fastest opening half mile in Kentucky Derby history. It's one of the reasons why you had such a wild result with Rich Strike being able to ride the rail and come from way out of it. I would expect you're going to see a winner again that is more forwardly placed. That's very bad news for all three of the favorites here. Forte, 3-1 in the 15 post, is going to be coming from off the pace. Tappet Trice, 5-1 in the 5 post, maybe last under the wire for the first time around going around the track. And the 14 Angel of Empire wants to come from off the pace as well. So not a great trend for any of those three horses. From a post position perspective, the 1-4 posts are atrocious in this race. When you have 20 horses who are all trained to get to the rail and to save ground, you've got a lot of horses that really press in. So if you're not able to shotgun out of that gate and get forwardly placed early from the inside, you're in a world of hurt. Your early leader is probably going to be the 2-horse Verifying. So he should be okay. The 4-horse Confidence Game has some speed. He should be okay. But for the 1, 3, and 5, I think it's a pretty tough draw here.
Is the problem for the closers, Mike, in the Derby simply traffic issues because of the 20 horses in the race and all the things that could go wrong? And then a question about Forte in the second part. Were you concerned about his Florida Derby victory, where he seemed to be really one-paced until very, very late in the race?
So yes is the quick answer, yeah. Right, for why horses who are forwardly placed generally going to be more successful. It's just an easier running style. You're not going to run into a situation where you got to go 9 wide on the turn, or you have to weave through horses and somehow get your momentum stopped. A lot of those closers, they're very, very good once they stretch their stride out, but they're not always the most athletic horse. So once that stride shortens because they get stopped or they get cut off, it's very hard for them to reach their top speed fast enough a second time to be able to then win the race. So you really have to trip out if you're going to close and win the race in this spot. From Forte perspective, I think his Florida Derby is being a little bit overblown. I think that race was better than what people are talking about. On paper, it doesn't look great. He regressed from a buyer perspective from a 98 down to a 95. But the time form number, which is a number that takes into account early pace and trip, was significantly higher than the buyer in this spot. If you go back and you watch the race, he was 4 wide on the first turn. He was 4-5 wide on the second turn. Mage boxed him in and forced him to really hold on to not send when he wanted to. When he gets loose at the 16th pole, he really accelerates, flies right by Mage. I think that that's actually a sneaky good race when you consider everyone who ran in the top three was on the outside. So the numbers are naturally going to come back lower because the time is going to be slower because they covered more distance of ground.
Mike, if a VSiN listener had $20 they wanted to bet on the Kentucky Derby this year, how would you advise them to bet it?
I would take half of it, and I would bet the number 8 Mage on top. I'm going to go back to that Florida Derby, and Mage is a horse who has not broken well the last two times. I think that that horse has a big shot, if he breaks better, at 15-1 to be your Kentucky Derby champion. So I'm going to take a shot with Mage on top. And then what I would do is I'd play a little trifecta. I would use the 8 on top. I would put the 14, 15, and 17 in second, and then the 3, the 14, 15, and 17 in third, and see if I can get a big-time price home. One of the best parts about the Derby, the superfecta, 15 of the last 17 years, paid at least $9,500 for a buck and has paid over 6 figures, 6 of those years. So it's worth scratching off a lottery ticket and playing the Derby Super as well.
You know, and this is the most heavily bet race every single year, one of the most heavily bet events in all of sports in the U.S. on a year-to-year basis. So that means there's a lot of new people that are betting horse racing for the very first time. And there is the Perry Mutual pool as well as fixed odds betting for people that are new out there. Can you just explain the difference and why they do that in horse racing?
Yeah, so horse racing and sports betting is drastically different just from how you're getting bets down, right? So in sports, you're betting against the house. You're betting against the casino. They're moving the line to adjust it, and you're locked into whatever number you have. With parimutuel wagering, you're essentially betting against the crowd, and the racetrack is taking a percentage of that wager. So if you bet a win bet in the Kentucky Derby, 15% of your win bet is going to go to the racetrack. The other 85% will go into the pool. And then they'll distribute that pool evenly amongst every person who had a win ticket on that specific horse. That means your odds can change, which a lot of people don't like. I mean, so if you're sitting there and you bet Forte at 7-2, But then someone puts down $1 million, he goes off at 5-2, you get paid at that 5-2 number. Now, there's quite a few places where you can get fixed odds betting from regulators here in the U.S. So if you want to look for fixed odds, you can definitely do that on the win spot. But every other spot on the every other wager in the Kentucky Derby is going to be a parimutuel wager where you're splitting the pool with however many winning tickets there are.
Yeah, we are offering fixed odds as well as parimutuel here at Circa. It's a couple of matchups, and then we're doing like NASCAR racing. We're doing four groups of five too, as a way to bet it. Mike, let's go to the ice. Stars, Ottinger gives up three goals in a minute, and they lose in overtime to the Kraken. You like him to bounce back, and you're playing him on the puck line tonight.
Yeah, I do. This is a spot where I think I like the Stars heading into this series. I think they have a matchup advantage specifically in goal here against Seattle. You had a terrible first period there from Ottinger. He just couldn't bounce back from it. And this Stars team played well. If you look at the expected goals, Dallas had an over half goal expected goal advantage in that game. If you look at the likelihood of winning over 1,000 simulations, Dallas was projected to win that first game 60% of the time. We saw in the first round these bounce back games, specifically for the home team in game two, was a great angle. I'm willing to lay the goal and a half here, take the plus money on this one, plus 135. And see if Dallas can bounce back and send this series back to Seattle tied at one.
And Mike, that's been a theme in the NBA as well, with 15 straight of those instances with the home team dropping game one, bouncing back to win game two. Warriors in that potential position tonight. Do you think they cover the six?
I do. We cashed on Boston here last night in the same spot. The Warriors, for me, look, that game one was an awful spot for Golden State. They've just played a very emotional game seven. They're coming in. You have a less rested Lakers team who's heading up north, knowing that's the game they can probably steal of the two in Golden State. You see them shoot 53 three-pointers and only six free throws. It just shows that they were settling for those jumpers instead of attacking the basket. I think you're going to see a much different Warriors team tonight. I think they go out, take care of business. I'm happy to lay the six.
You have anybody in the series?
I bet Golden State before the series started. I kind of wish I had waited one game and bet them after the first game, because I'm not shocked they lost that first game just with the way that everything lined up.
Yeah, that plus 145 series price now staring at you. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you doing this. And I know it's a busy week. Can't imagine how many derby spots you have.
Just a couple. I think I'll be back on VSiN here in about an hour. We're doing another one in an hour for you guys. So, yeah, a lot of derby talk, but I can't wait. It's going to be an absolute blast this weekend.
By the way, Mike, number 10 practical move just scratched. So Cyclo Mischief will draw into the field.
Wow, that is a big, big scratch, too. 10-1, your fourth choice on the morning line, was projected to get a very good trip.
Awesome stuff, Mike. Follow him at Samabomb18 on Twitter. And look at you just... Horstradamus over here, getting ahead of the people. We're going to take a quick break. Turn into the NFL with Eric Froton of NBC Sports coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Such a busy time of year, so much to bet on over the next 30 days. And for a limited time, we can help you out here at VSiN. Become a subscriber today for just $9.99. That'll get you insight to the daily baseball best bets from our experts, NBA and NHL postseason, as well as our VSiN Kentucky Derby betting guide out now. Only VSiN Pro subscribers, though, get access to the daily recap of top plays made from all of our show hosts and guests. You also get tools like betting splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving for each game, as well as a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand at any given time. Sign up now for just $9.99. Again, at VSiN.com/subscribe. We are still reeling from what was a hectic and exciting NFL draft this past week. To help us break it all down, we welcome in Eric Froton, lead college football and NFL draft analyst over at NBC Sports, at CF Froton on Twitter. Welcome in. And are you finally able to just unwind a little bit from last week?
Oh my gosh, unwind to the 10th degree. Absolutely. I wrote about 80,000 words between player profiles and articles, things of that nature. So oh, yeah, I'm ready to turn the page to the 2023 college football season, where I hope to be back and talking about some team futures as well there.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Sorry that we have to bug you and ask you more questions about the draft, though, after all of the written work. For now, I couldn't help but look at your Twitter and see how much you were defending your Houston Texans D-grade in the draft. Why are you hating on the Texans opportunity so much here?
Oh, gosh, I don't want to say I'm hating on anybody. You know, I do have love for all the Texans fans. I went on two pretty good podcasts with some educated and very passionate Texans fans. But, you know, I have to stand by my grade here. It is a case of what could they have and what did they come away with? And the big crux of my D grade for the Houston Texans comes away with they had the number 12 pick. They traded up to number 3 after selecting C.J. Stroud to take Will Anderson. Now, it's not the players I have a problem with. It is the fact that they could have gotten a very impactful player at 12 if they wanted to, maybe Lucas Van Ness. If they wanted to wait and sit with their number 33 pick, take B.J. Ojolari, which is exactly what Arizona did after trading down from 33 to 41 because Tennessee wanted to come up and get Will Levis. So they got more capital back. So just you look at the windfall from Arizona. You look at the position it puts the Cardinals in next year. It's the same position Houston could be in because they won 2 games last year. They started out at 5.5 wins. They're up to 6.5 wins for their over-under. That puts them at, you know, the 3-4 pick for next year. They gave away that pick to move up 9 spots. They could have got a very impactful player there, but they could be giving up a Marvin Harrison Jr., a Drake May, a Caleb Williams if they don't improve the way they want to. And the back end of their draft wasn't full of players I look at that I say, okay, these guys are going to come in right away and be instant factors. They didn't have a number 2 pick because they traded up to get Anderson. Juice Scruggs was rated, according to industry consensus, as the number 178 ranked player. They took him at 61. Okay, Nathaniel Dell is a very talented, was an excellent college player, good Senior Bowl, but he's 5'8", 165. You're asking a lot in a projection standpoint. Dylan Horton was taken 60, picks ahead of ADP. So we're looking at a lot of factors down the board as well as how they use their capital for why I allocate that D grade.
Eric, were you surprised that Bijan Robinson opened in the markets as the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
No. As you guys know, I am certainly well in tune with the collegiate markets, being college fantasy football, college player props, DFS, whatever it might be. And for the past 2 years, every single draft I did, Bijan Robinson was the number one selection. So he is as advertised, 216 pounds, 225 maybe ends up playing at. He's got all the measurables. He can cut at full speed in a way that is just abnormal for his size. I do think that that's legitimate. But if I'm going down the board and I see a little value, you know, and you want to take a shot, which we all like to do, I kind of like what I see from Jordan Addison, given landing spot, given he's plus 1,700 to 2,000, depending on what you're looking at. He's going to fill right into that number 2 role opposite Justin Jefferson, which has been a real honey hole for the Minnesota faithful. You look how well Adam Thielen did in that role for years and years and years, and now he basically is a reasonable facsimile of Thielen in terms of his ability to separate and get open and just be crafty. So I do think the 2021 reigning, the 2021 Biletnikoff winner at plus 1,700, you got to take a look at that.
Yeah, I love that. Good stuff with Jordan Addison. And to your point about Bijan Robinson, shows how valuable he is that a team that didn't really have running back need would still go ahead and take him to be their guy. For as far as the Defensive Rookie of the Year market goes, who stood out to you on that board?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously you're looking at numero uno, which is, you know, Will Anderson, and that's justified. You know, I give Houston a hard time, but you know, how they allocated their draft capital, I do have a problem with. But the player is not somebody I really do have an issue with. However, if I'm going down the board, and we all like to do this, and using the same sort of train of thought, I kind of like Will McDonald at plus 2,000. He was taken 15th to the Jets. I know the Jets plan to unleash him from a wide nine alignment, which he was really pigeonholed kind of being inside in Iowa State's 3-3-5 that they would employ. I think you're going to see him freed up, and that the Jets want to see him let loose. They want to put him in a position in alignment and in circumstances where he's rushing the passer with, you know, impunity and can kind of let loose. I think the way he's going to be used for a team that's already pretty, you know, it's in good shape and should compete. I think the marketplace, being in New York, being on what should be, you know, the Aaron Rodgers led team, is going to put a spotlight on him. You have to factor these things in. Plus 2,000 might be worth a shot.
Eric, what team's draft do you think will have the most immediate positive impact in this football season?
Yeah, I liked, you know, just I'll stay in the AFC, you know, and unfortunately the AFC South for Houston fans, and go with Indianapolis. I liked what they did. They had a pretty good amount of picks. They had, you know, movements in which they had to get better. Let's be honest. I mean, they didn't have a QB. They have Gardner Minshew. That was not going to happen. They were not going to go in the season with just him. So getting Anthony Richardson, I had him. He was plus 340 to go with that number four pick. Just the day before the draft, I thought it was incredible value. That was due to the Will Levis anonymous post on Reddit, which somehow turned the markets upside down. I mean, here we are. This is the draft. But you look at the Colts. Anthony Richardson, the most freakish quarterback that's ever tested in the history of the combine, even better than the great Cam Newton, with a number one pick. No problem with that. He had 13 starts. There's a lot of things that need to be done in terms of tuning up his mechanics and his footwork, but the bones are there. Julius Brents at number 44, big physical corner for Kansas State, aggressive, you know, and that's what everybody wants nowadays. You need a long corner. They want the Sauce Gardner mold, and look at how he absolutely dominated right out of the gate. That's what everybody wants. I like Brents at that spot. Josh Downs, 79, frankly, I thought he was a second-round grade that I had on him, even though he's a slot receiver, and you had a lot of the smaller receivers that were available in this draft. But, man, getting him in the third round at 79, Josh Downs, he's going to slot right in at the slot receiver. I think he's day one starter, mm-hmm. Right next to Michael Pittman. That's a great pick. Blake Freeland was one of the, like, a 98th percentile athlete for BYU at tackle, and then Adebowari, Northwestern. Again, he blew up the Senior Bowl. He's a little short at 6'2", with 285. He can go an edge. He can kind of bounce inside on pass downs to try to penetrate from the interior. I just think all those players, you know, you get five players who are going to be impact right out of the gate, guys that you can look at. And then Will Mallory ran a 4.5 as a tight end. Evan Hull was one of the best athletes as a running back. And Titus Leo had a really nice postseason. I like Indianapolis, what they did. I gave him an A.
Yeah, I was a fan of that Josh Downs pick from North Carolina, such a go-to star for Drake May this past season. And Anthony Richardson, if you really do think that this Indianapolis Colts team is going to make that significant progress with him at quarterback, 9-1 for him for Offensive Rookie of the Year, isn't looking too bad either. While I know that that's a team that you like, I'm surprised that you didn't mention the Eagles, just given how much hype that they've gotten for Jalen Carter, basically just becoming the Georgia defense in some capacity here. But what did you think of the Eagles draft? Because I didn't see them in your early high grades.
Oh, well, Story, the only reason why I didn't have the Eagles in my high grades, and I believe in Roseman, you know, but I will say that when it comes to, I apologize. When it comes to their draft, I did the AFC grades, so I didn't have the NFC. Kyle Dvorak did that, so that's why I kind of stuck with that, and I wanted to go outside the box. But gosh, drafting the entire 2021 Georgia Bulldogs defense is not a bad, I think, move by anybody's, distinction. So getting Jalen Carter to put next to Jordan Davis, to have Nolan Smith at the number 30 pick fall in their lap, when you acquire draft capital and you stack it up and you use it as leverage the way the Eagles have done over the past couple of years. That's why I look at Houston and say, what could have been?
Yeah.
You could have had all that capital for that trade.
Eric, we're up against it, but really, really appreciative of your time. Great work as always. Again, everybody, make sure you follow him at CF Froton on Twitter, doing great work with NBC Sports covering college football this coming season as well as the draft. We've got to step aside, but wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Anytime you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Plus, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, remember you can also convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use to dining, shows, hotel rooms, as well at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located here on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line, live from Circa Resort and Casino. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, alongside Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa, VSiN host. Mike, it is time for our pro tip of the show.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. And this goes a little bit to zigzag, but about especially when game one is lost by the home team and the bounce back spot in game two. And tonight we have two on the ice and one on the hardwoods. Three playoff games where there are game two in which the home team lost game one. The higher seeded teams tend to bounce back in these spots. 15 in a row in the NBA, and that's the spot for the Warriors tonight.
Yep.
Now a 5.5-point favorite against the Lakers, as we talked about with Will Hill, open 4.5 after the game one loss. And then both hockey games, Toronto at home at Scotiabank, and the Stars at American Airlines Arena look to bounce back and even the series at one.
Yep, pro tips available at VSiN.com. Become a subscriber today. They're searchable by sport and by show. And you said the 15 straight in the NBA over the last 21 games. It's also 20-1 straight up that home team has bounced back in game two, 19-2 against the spread. And in the NHL, Tom Gallitti of NHL.com, he tweeted the other day that winning game one in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs is usually a good thing. Game one winners historically have gone on to win 68% of seven game series all time. But in round one this year, it was only Seattle and Carolina who went on to win game one in their respective series. So keep that food for thought from a series perspective as well, that game one, just because you lose doesn't mean you're out of the series. And I do like the Leafs, for example, as a team to come bounce back potentially to win their series, and the Stars as well. So
would you put these three together tonight? Would you do a Leafs, Stars, Warriors money line parlay?
Maybe that's what I'll do. I actually really do like that. And because, like you said, I mean, it's baked into the numbers at this point, too. Sportsbooks and operators are smart. They know that the zigzag theory is a thing. They know if we know these records, they know those records. And so with the numbers just a little bit higher, maybe that is a fun thing to combine and just hope that you can get the better of the set.
Yeah, I like I think the most vulnerable of those three is Toronto tonight, in my opinion. I like the Stars a lot. And as we heard from Mike Somich earlier in the hour, he's got him on the puck line against Seattle. And this to Will Hill's point, who was on in the first hour of the show, with all the minutes that the big two played for the Lakers in game one, this might be you're down a dozen early.
Mm-hmm.
Conserve your energy type effort tonight in Northern California.
Yeah, LeBron and AD both playing, 44 and 40 minutes respectively?
You know, I worry about the LeBron under 25, because if it is a game and AD does this, you know, up and down every game, then where
maybe
the points going to come from?
Yeah, maybe it's the LeBron game.
That's what I was thinking about with his bet on the 25.5.
I'm with you. See, I just don't like that roller coaster. Like,
he's
the lack
never
of
been
consistency.
Consistent. He's never been consistent. It's not something new. He's never been consistent.
Yeah, so just wonder if that trend continues. But the level of play being sustainable from those two throughout the course of the playoffs is definitely a reason to be nervous. At BetMGM, though, we see that number has gone from 5.5 to 6.5 now with Golden State favored. So more and more people buying in on the favorite. Like, we've had both of our guests that have come on the show to preview this game have said that the final score of game one was Lakers 117-112. But we talked about this in the very open of the show today, that it was anybody's game. That last minute and a half, Steph Curry ends up tying things up. If not for a Jordan Poole, why the heck are you shooting from that far outside the 3-point line type of a shot? Then maybe this game goes the other way.
Yeah. And then we're not betting them tonight because they won game one,
yep.
Right? And we're just
exactly
we're passing on it and maybe looking at, you know, Golden State in five or something like that as the value bets.
Let's go back to this Maple Leafs and Panthers game and series in general. If you had to pick one bet for Toronto to win this game or to win the series, would you bet either one of them? Would you have a preference? Or are you just all in on the Panthers? Because they have so well.
I'm not all in. I just think that we totally overlooked the Panthers because they were so disappointing early in the year.
Well, they had so many new pieces on their team, too. It's a very different squad.
It is. And Bobrovsky has never lived up to the contract after upsetting Tampa Bay with Columbus. And so I think we just dismissed them and forgot about how good a team they were last year and that they're very legitimate. I mean, I think you can probably make an argument for 7 out of these 8 teams to win the cup. And I mean, the odds are reflected in it. It's like 4-1, 4-1, 5-1, 5-1, 6-1. Have you ever seen an odds for a Stanley Cup playoff when you got to the final 8 so evenly spread across the board? And there's some bias that makes the Knights the favorite here because of the local money. But, I mean, it's really anybody's game. I think Seattle, and maybe I'm dismissive of them too early, but probably the outlier. I don't think Seattle can go all the way. But I think you can make an argument for any of the other 7 that they're capable of winning the cup.
Well, I think, too, with the Seattle and Stars series, the Dallas was just caught a little bit off balance early. Seattle plays a very different game than they saw from Minnesota, and they were very quick. They can chase you down on a breakaway. Dallas, to me, just in general, is going to have better goaltending throughout the course of the series and is the better team offensively. Joe Pavelski was just the only guy that was on. And I mean, how bad if you're Jake Ottinger do you feel if Joe Pavelski scores 4 goals and you guys don't get the win? But you didn't have anything from Roope Hintz in this game, which you need. You didn't have anything from Tyler Seguin, which you need. They were the top 2 scorers for Dallas in the first round. They didn't produce. So I think that changes.
I think the power play will be successful long-term too in the series. They're very good special teams, the Stars, on both sides with the PK, too, of course, with Ottinger as the number one penalty killer. What would you have made the odds if I told you that 2 guys would have 4 goals and their teams both lost last 2 nights?
And like
in the playoffs, you'd say it's impossible because 4 goals that alone is going to win a game.
Yeah. But, are there even props out there on anything for a player to score 4 goals? Because Leon Draisaitl doesn't necessarily surprise too much if you had those numbers specifically on Draisaitl or McDavid. But shocking to score 4 goals and to lose, both those teams to lose those games.
Especially Pavelski, when your team is favored at home.
And he's coming off an injury, too.
Oh, that's right. He took quite a hit in the first round.
But I think that, again, the Kraken are an awesome story. And I love what they did in the first round. And I love that they were able to carry over that emotion to win game 1 and an incredible first period. It ended up going to overtime and they win that way. I just feel like, generally speaking, the Stars have too much for the series. And you're getting such a good price on them in the series at minus 120 when they were obviously a significantly bigger favorite before that game.
I felt they had a bigger hill to climb against Minnesota than Seattle. I was much more worried about them. I'm thankful that they sort of got game 2 handed to them with Fleury. But you lose the game 3 there, and game 4 was almost a desperate situation. It was scoreless late into the second. They win that, and then they really dominated the last 2 games of the series. So I think they're playing well. I think it's the Knights or them. Are you? If I had to tell you,
that's what I was going to ask you. We just mentioned the parity. Who do you have winning it all right now?
I would say Stars, but very lukewarmly. I mean, who? If you, regardless of what tickets you had in the future, you just have to name a. It's a bet, and you're going to get 5-1 because basically they're all between 4 and 7. 5-1, take one team at 5-1. Who would you take?
I don't know
that it's worth a bet with 8 teams in there.
I don't think so either. I don't see. I mean, and we look at the board in front of us right now. You see 7-1 on the Stars. Maybe that's the best option from a numbers perspective. But for as much as I love the Golden Knights and I'm rooting for them and I think that they're going to make Western Conference final appearance, I don't have trust in them to win it all. I would love to see it. I'm a fan. I'm a former employee. I would love to see it. But
the Devils are interesting at 7-1 also. And then you say, well, the Stars, they have home ice. And you know, if Florida won and the Devils won, they'd have home ice in the in the Eastern Conference final.
Well, and I told you, too, I do have the Devils coming out of this series with the Hurricanes despite that rough 5-1 loss. Remember, they did lose back-to-back games at home against the Rangers.
They look terrible. I said, they weren't ready for the playoffs, right? Too soon for them.
They're a year away, but here they are. Fun show with you today, Mike. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate you.
Thank you. The 2 hours flies by.
Yeah, and I love getting the opportunity to talk a little bit more hockey. I know this is an NFL show, but when we have somebody like you who watches it as intently as you do, very fun to have the opportunity. That's a wrap for us today. It's also a wrap for me this week. I'll be back with Michael on Sunday, but he will return tomorrow with Femi. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Good luck with your bets and place them for the Kentucky Derby. Get them going. We got a new entry in the mix.